Well, this evening we have a very familiar psalm as we work our way through all 150 psalms. It may take several years to do this, but I guess there's no need to be in a hurry. It doesn't really matter from which psalm, that Psalm 149 or Psalm 49 or Psalm 89. All the psalms tell us something about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They all tell us something about our glorious God and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, in Psalm 23, the title of the message is simply what we see in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, the Lord, sometimes I think we get too familiar with Scripture and just kind of read over it and not really stop to what's being said. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my Savior. He's my provider. He is my everything. He's my food. He's my shelter. He's my clothing. He's my bread. He's my resurrection. He's my salvation. He's my righteousness. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. I trust to you, you can say the same thing. The Lord is my Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, that being the case, you can say this too. I don't want for anything. I shall not want. If He's my shepherd, all the bases are covered. If He's my shepherd, all things are provided freely by His grace. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. Now this psalm is probably the best known psalm of all 150 psalms. Would you say that's probably true? You would. It's often read by many, often read by believers who are seeking comfort, hope, and assurance in a time of distress and trouble. This psalm has the same message of all the psalms and the entire Word of God. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only shepherd of the sheep. He is all and in all in salvation. He is the one way. We read it just a moment ago from John 10. He's not one of many doors. He is the door. He's not one of many ways. He is the way. I like what Peter and John declared before those whom had arrested them and those who had questioned the healing miracle on that poor cripple that's recorded in Acts chapter 3 and 4. And they said, if you want to know, before this council, if you want to know by what means this cripple was healed, be it known unto you that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man does stand here before you whole, complete. And then he goes on to say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the one way. The one way. Now, Hunter, you're going to like this story. I'm going to tell you a story right now. A couple weeks ago, I was here, and there's a couple that attends here. You remember Brother Dean sits right here. Well, a couple weeks ago, or last month, they flew out west to see their grandson, their grandchildren out in Oregon. And he told me the week after when he came back, standing at the door there, I was greeting the folks as they left. He said, let me tell you an interesting story about my grandson. I guess grandparents like to talk about their grandchildren. I'm a grandfather myself. I have a grandson that's 8 months old. And I could tell you some stories about him. But grandparents like to talk about their grandchildren. And here's what Brother Dean told me. He said, when we were out there visiting our grandson, He said that his mother had told him this story, that they were out driving one day, out in the community, and noticing the traffic and the traffic signs. And this young man, I don't know how old he is, I think he's younger than you are, but he turned and said to his mother, he said, "Mom, look," he said, there's a sign about salvation. And she thought for a moment, well, a traffic sign? I don't really see that declaring salvation. And it was a sign that said one way. One way. The Lord Jesus Christ, Hunter, is the one way of salvation. Now that little boy knew something, didn't he? He knew that salvation was one way. And that one way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Everything Adam lost, he lost the way. He lost the truth. He lost life. Everything that Adam lost, in Christ we have much more. Much more. By one man's disobedience, many became sinners. So by the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. Now, it's interesting that this psalm of comfort follows the psalm of the cross. Did you ever notice that? The psalm of comfort, Psalm 23, follows Psalm 22. The psalm of comfort follows the psalm of the cross. Now, preacher, why do you mention that? Without the cross, there can be no comfort. Without sin being made an atonement for, without Christ crucified, we have no hope of salvation. Without Christ crucified, we have no comfort. We have no hope. We have no forgiveness. Without Christ crucified, we have no Savior. We have no salvation from sin. Have you ever noticed this in Isaiah 40? Turn over there. Isaiah 40. Look at verse 1 of Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double all her sins. I tell you what, that's comfort. That's comfort. Oh, what comfort it gives the believer to know that God has dealt with my sin in my shepherd. God has dealt with my sin in my substitute and put away my sin. Our Lord said, I laid down my life for my sheep, and I'm going to take it up again. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again. You know why he was raised again? Because he justified us with his blood. So the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now notice verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful shepherd of the sheep that was promised of God, promised in all the Old Testament scripture. Let me give you some of the promises. Don't turn. Let me just read them to you. Ezekiel 34:23 says, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. He's that one shepherd that feeds them with the bread of life. Isaiah 40 says of him, the shepherd, God said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. He's that tender, loving, caring shepherd. He's that tender shepherd. Zechariah 13, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Smite the shepherd. Throughout the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed as a fulfillment of that which was promised in the Old Testament. The shepherd that was promised, the shepherd did come to save his sheep. He's called throughout the New Testament. He is called by a descriptive title, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. What's the third one? The Chief Shepherd. The Chief Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd of the sheep that gave his life for the sheep. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What does that tell us about the death of Christ? He dies on purpose. He dies on God's purpose, fulfilling those covenant arrangements that they made way back in eternity in that covenant of grace when the Lord Jesus Christ stood as a surety for his covenant people. He is called in Hebrews 13:20, he is called the Great Shepherd of the sheep who bought us with his own blood. He brought him from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He is the Great Shepherd of the sheep that gives unto his sheep so great salvation. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, he's called the Chief Shepherd. He's the chief. He has all preeminence in salvation. He is the Chief Shepherd of the sheep that shall appear, that shall come again and crown his sheep and draw his sheep to him and bless them with everlasting salvation, and there shall they ever be with the Lord. So he is, remember now, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. He's the Chief Shepherd of the sheep who shall appear, who shall crown us with salvation, who shall own us. He will not be ashamed to identify himself with us. He is Jehovah's Shepherd, the good and great and chief shepherd. I trust we can boldly say, like David, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's mine. He's my shepherd. He may be despised by this religious world. I'm talking about the true shepherd. The one that they talk about is a phony shepherd. He's not the true Christ. He's a counterfeit Christ. The shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd that Jehovah has chosen, that Jehovah has sent, the shepherd of the sheep is the great, good, and chief shepherd who cannot fail to save his covenant people, who draws them and gives them everlasting life in Christ Jesus. If you can boldly say, the Lord is my shepherd, then you can also boldly say, by his grace, I shall not want. I shall not want. It is because of who he is and what he has done and what he is doing, we can boldly say with confidence and assurance, I shall not want now, and I shall not want forever, forever. Although I'm weak and a sinful sheep, I shall not want, for he's my shepherd. He's able to form all that he has promised concerning the salvation of his sheep. I'm persuaded like Abraham, aren't you, that of all that God has promised, he is able to perform. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. He is able to keep his sheep from falling, not only able to keep us, but able to present us before God, holy, spotless, unblameable in his sight. And he's able to raise up our vile bodies and give us a new glorious body like unto his glorious body. The Lord is my shepherd. Now see, there's a lot here, isn't there? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I shall not want because of who he is. He said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I shall not want. I shall not want. Now, where does that leave us with the rest of this psalm? Verses 2 down through verse 6. The Lord gives us 9 blessings in Christ. Or we can say 9 reasons why we shall not want for any good thing. All things are freely given. All things are freely supplied for us in Christ. Justified freely by his grace, right? Through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the Lord is my shepherd, You can identify with these nine things. You say, well, is there nine things here? Yeah, there is. Let's go over them. I won't wear you down here, I promise you. The Lord is my shepherd. That being so, I shall not want for rest. I shall not want for rest, for it says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for rest. The believer finds his rest in His Word, most sweet and tender, like the fresh grass would be to a sheep. We feed upon Him in His Word. Through His Word, we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In the Word, we find His promises to be sweet, unfailing, everlasting, exceeding great and precious promises that give the weary sinner rest. Our Lord said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore we rest in Him. We have a sure dwelling place. We have a refuge. We can lay down and rest in Christ Jesus. And it's a blessed rest. It is a peaceful rest. It is a righteous rest. It is an eternal rest we have in Christ Jesus. In the green pastures of His promises, the lively pastures of His promises. This is not, dried up hay. This is the sweetness of the freshness of that grass that's dripping with the dew of His grace. And we eat it up like the sheep would out on that day, chewing up that fresh grass covered with dew. How sweet it is to the taste. And that's what he's talking about here. I rest feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I shall not want for refreshment, for he leadeth me beside still waters, the waters of life. I shall not want for refreshment. He leadeth me beside still waters. He is the everlasting spring of everlasting and eternal life. Isaiah 55:1, our God says, Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come to me. I'll give you to drink. Oh, I tell you, He leads me beside still waters. In Isaiah, or rather Proverbs 25, it says, As cold waters to a thirsty soul, as cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Oh, He's the water of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living water springing up into everlasting life. He told that woman at the well, Oh, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, you would ask of Him and He'd give you eternal life. And there'd be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, He's my refreshment. He leads me beside still waters. Now, I read years ago, and I suppose this is true. I read years ago that if you're a shepherd, naturally speaking, a shepherd out in the country where I grew up, you would drive out in the high desert country out in southern Idaho or the southern part of Wyoming, and you would see, you could always tell a shepherd. They would have a certain type of camping vehicle. You could always see a shepherd's wagon out there, and you could guarantee that somewhere he was out there with his flock tending to his sheep. But I read one time years ago that a herd of sheep will not drink from a fast-running stream that makes noise. They have to have still water. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that calm water that He gives to us, and we drink of Him. Now, look at verse 3. I shall not want for rest, for refreshment. Verse 3, I shall not want for redemption or reconciliation. Or resurrection. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for redemption. He restoreth my soul. Now, why is that? Why is that so important? Because of sin. Because of our fallen Adam. We were lost sheep, going astray, turning everyone to our own way of self and sin, unable and even unwilling to restore ourselves back into the fold. We were lost sheep, dumb sheep. They tell me when sheep get out of the penned up area, they're so dumb they can't find their way back in. And that's me. Lost, needing restoration in Christ Jesus, unable to do anything about putting away my sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He has redeemed us by His blood. The Good Shepherd came and laid down His life to save the sheep, to redeem the sheep with His own precious blood. He said, I am the Good Shepherd, I lay down my life. Peter said, we are redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. And you see, here's the shepherd who became a sheep to put away our sin. The Lamb of God. Behold, what mercy and grace this is, that the shepherd would become the lamb to shed His blood to save the sheep. He came to restore our soul. He came and Adam all died. In Christ shall all be made alive. He came to reconcile us unto God by the sacrifice of Himself. And my friend, never think that He failed to do so. He restoreth my soul. Reconciliation, redemption. Shall not want. There's plenty. Here's the fourth one, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. I shall not want for guidance. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Look over at Psalm 25, talking about the paths. Psalm 25 says, verse 10, all thy paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimony. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Lead me in thy paths. Psalm 25, look at verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. I shall not want. Look what it says. He lead me, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. I shall not want for righteousness. Now, He's not talking about morality here. God's people ought to be a moral, upright people, but that's not my righteousness. My morality is not my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And that is Christ. You see, the sheep by nature are dirty sheep. The sheep by nature are, you've heard that term, black sheep. They're black sheep. The black sheep, that's me. I'm the black sheep of the family. The sheep by nature, we can say with Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. The sheep by nature are dirty sheep. They're ungodly sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none righteous, no, not one. The sheep by nature have no desire for righteousness. They love darkness, not light. The sheep by nature see no need of righteousness. They think they're pretty good on their own. And left to themselves, they go about to establish a righteousness of their own, being ignorant of the righteousness that's provided in the gospel in Christ Jesus. It is only by His sovereign grace, only by the grace of God and for His name's sake, that the sheep are led to see and to love Christ, who is all their righteousness before God. You see that? He leads me in paths of righteousness, for Christ is my righteousness. You remember the verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord would impute, or who imputeth righteousness without works. The sheep now, because they are led in paths of righteousness for Christ's name's sake, no longer are going about to establish their own, but they're resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called Jehovah Sid Canoe. What does that mean, Jehovah Sid Canoe? Remember those sevenfold name of our God, Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Sid Canoe. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Sid Canoe is the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. And He is. He leads us in paths of His righteousness. How righteous does a sinner need to be to stand before God and be accepted and justified? Needs to be as righteous as God. How can that be? Only in Christ Jesus. Only in that blessed righteousness that He worked out for His covenant people, and that blessed righteousness that He freely imputeth and giveth unto them. Now, look at verse 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For fellowship, for companionship, for it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thou art with me. I will fear no evil. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for fellowship with Him. You see, you know what fellowship is? It's fellows in the same ship. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We're one in Christ Jesus. Thou art with me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, so that we may boldly say, He is my shepherd. He has promised to never leave us. He said in Matthew 28, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, not even death. Although we walk all the days of our life in the shadow of death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's this life. Not even death can separate us from the love of Christ. The shadow of death, we have nothing to fear, not for the believer. For Christ has taken the sting of death away. He has died for us and ever lives to intercede for us. Death to the believer now is just a shadow. A shadow. No need to fear a shadow. Christ has removed the substance of death, the sting of death, and only a shadow remains. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am the resurrection and the life. Thou art with me in life. Thou art with me in death. Death to the believer is not punishment. Death to the believer is promotion. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To be absent from the body for a believer is to be with the Lord forever. Forever to be with Him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I remember hearing a story, and I can't remember who the preacher was, but he was a famous, well-known preacher in his day. And he was on his deathbed, the last moments of his life, the last hours of his life. And one of his friends came to see him and called him by name and says, are you still among the land of the living? And he said, no. He said, I'm going to the land of the living. I'm among the land of the dying. And that's what we are in this life. We walk in the valley of the shadow of death. This is a land of death. We're going to the land of the living. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sin, and no more death. That's what he says in the Revelation, isn't it? Now here's something else. The sixth thing is this. In the last part of verse 4, I shall not want for comfort. I shall not want for comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is the rod and the staff? You think of a shepherd. You think of that shepherd's staff, don't you? You ever seen that shepherd's staff? Has a big long staff with a hook on it. I guess the shepherd would take that staff and he would grab the sheep by the neck if need be and pull the sheep in or correct the sheep. The rod and the staff here are symbols of the Lord's sovereign authority and power. Now you better believe that the shepherd has all power and all authority over all things, but especially in regard to his sheep. He owns the sheep. He bought the sheep. He rules over the sheep. And the Lord has the wise and righteous dominion over all things, but especially in regards to his sovereign lordship over his sheep, his rod, his sovereignty, and his power. It does comfort us. I want you to find Psalm 110, the rod and the staff of his sovereign rule, his sovereign reign. Look over here. And that also refers to the gospel of the shepherd. Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy people. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Thy rod and thy staff, God's sovereignty and the sovereignty of our Lord, and him being the sovereign shepherd, having mercy on whom he will, brings comfort to the believer, knowing that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Our sovereign Lord rules his flock, guides his flock, feeds his flock, defends his flock, which brings comfort to his sheep. Aren't you glad he is the shepherd who does guide us, lead us, feed us, and defend us? Now here's the seventh one, verse 5. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for provisions. My cup runneth over. You see verse 5? Thou preparest a table. It's a table of grace. Come and dine, he says. Before me in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, the oil of his spirit, and therefore my cup overflows. My cup overflows with his blessedness. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. It says in Philippians 4, verse 19, he shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. The believer is not without enemies in this world. Our Lord said, if they've hated me, they will hate you. But he also said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Even in the face of mine enemies, my head still is anointed with oil, and my cup still runs over. The enemy can't diminish the blessings of the Lord. Look what he says over here in Psalm 27. Verse 1, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I'll be confident. Oh, what assurance we have in Christ Jesus. One thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and shall set me upon the rock. I shall not want for provision. He provides all things for us. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, my cup runs over. Innumerable blessings we have in Christ Jesus. He fills us to the full. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily and in Christ Jesus. We stand complete. My cup runneth over. I shall not want for provision. Even in the face of strong opposition to the gospel of God's grace, the Good Shepherd prepares the table of grace, spreads the gospel feast for us to feed upon, and completely satisfies His people. We're doing a study at Zebulun through the book of Song of Solomon, and it says, He brought me into His banqueting house, and His banner over us was love. He brought me into His table of grace, spread the gospel feast, and feeds us, and we do rejoice in Him. He anoints our head, enlightens our understanding, illuminates our minds by the revelation of the Holy Spirit to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is all of God's provision for us. He is not only Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, but He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now get a hold of this. Only that which God provides will God accept. We're accepted in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. I shall not want for provisions. My cup runneth over. That leads us down to one more verse. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall not want for anything in this life. All the days of my life. Surely. Surely. Well, maybe. No. Surely. All the promises of God are sure and in Him and amen and to the glory of God. Surely goodness, goodness and mercy. God has two sheepdogs. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. And they follow us all the days of our life. And they do the Master's bidding. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hedge me about, protect me, watch over me. It's His goodness, His sovereign grace to us that will surely provide all things for us. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. All the days of our lives, good days, bad days, high days, low days. It says here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. His mercy. Oh, His mercy. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. His goodness and His mercy. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. I shall not want for anything in this life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me in my bad days, in my high days, in my low days, in my blue days, in my happy days, all the days of my life. His goodness, His mercy is with us. Here's the last one. This is the ninth one. We've been through nine of them now. I shall not want for anything in this life, nor in the life to come. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not want for any good thing in the life hereafter. As the old writers always say in their commentary on the gospel of God's grace, He gives all grace now and all glory forever. This is not presumption to believe Him, but rather confidence in our great, good, and chief shepherd, Jehovah Shepherd, who cannot fail. He said, all that the Father gives me, they will come to me, and those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me, and this is the Father's will, that all He had given to me, I'll lose nothing but raise them up the last day. All grace now and all glory forever. This is God's shepherd that cannot fail. He is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now I trust by His grace. Next time you look at Psalm 23, you look at it in a different light than you have before. And I pray God will bless His word to your heart.